Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth.
Hello, people of Earth. Welcome to the Hucklebuck. I am Steny.
And I'm Ben.
We're Bette and Steny. It's episode 728 of the Hucklebuck. 728.
7 times 4 is 28, but...
But there's no 4 there, so... We gotta wait until we get to episode...
7 is divisible by 28.
It is divisible
by
28. Yeah.
If you really want to...
If you, yeah, if you want to
belabor
be,
the point.
Yeah.
Stan.
All right, Stan, don't labor the point. So anyways, yeah, it's episode 728 of The Hucklebug, and I guess we'll begin with your shout-outs or shout-out solitary single, Roar, and it's for Tina.
Stand in the place where you live.
Now leaves a comment. Tina says, I guess I'll start, and you finish. I'll take the first time. Hi, Bette and Steny. Love hearing about your daily debacles. Delighted Scout's doing okay. And big hugs to Marla, as having just been in the hospital myself, I totally get it. Well, it's Mish who is in the hospital, my friend Mish. But she is out now. She got out on Monday. She's home. She's doing great.
But Marla's Ken had some surgery as well.
That's right. That's right.
And he's doing great.
Marla's husband, Ken, that was an outpatient procedure. He just went in. He had surgery on his eye. He's home. That's going great. So congratulations.
Now it will help him play the oboe, which...
Yeah,
I would have eye surgery again if it helped me play.
Well, he also is going to be able to drive for himself again. So that's good news for Marla, because Marla's been doing all of the driving between the two of them. But anyway, Marla's my friend who rules. But Mish was my friend who was in the hospital.
Yes.
She's home now. Marla still rules. And she says, I hope she starts to improve soon. She is improving already, Mish. So we're looking good.
Yes. Having met Marla... One of the joys of my life. She's just a doll.
She's wonderful. She really is. She's fantastic. She says, please continue with the fuck off section. I love it. Here when someone really pisses me off, I say they can go and fuck the right off. Sorry, Stan, it's not good English, but puts more emphasis on it. So my favorite version of the phrase fuck off is fuck all the way off. I like that one. Fuck all the way off. You fuck all the way off.
Well, I like fuck the hell off.
Fuck the hell off is good too.
But I also enjoy fuck them in the eye. Just
fuck them in the eye is good. Also, fuck you, you fucking fuck. It's also good. We got a lot of good ways of saying fuck you around here. Bet, you want to take the rest of this?
She says, I hate Trump. So do we.
I was
watching him last night, and Bet, I nearly messaged you about the absolute shite that was coming out of that big orange face.
I nearly hate
Elon as much.
I hate him more.
And even he looked like, what the fuck is he saying? When he was talking about the amount of people on Social Security over 100 years old.
Man
is a total nutter.
He is.
And he is our de facto president as well. When you say, when these people come out and they say, oh, don't you love the president? Which one?
Who says that? Who? Well,
everybody in my town.
Where you live, I'm sure that's getting lots of good press. Where I live, we're all just like, can you believe these motherfuckers?
Yeah. And she says, don't even get me started on Ukraine and Zelensky. That's a whole nother.
Surely we all saw that coming.
Of shit or shite.
Shite. Yeah, I like that.
On that note, I apologize for the rant, but Bette, I will do time with you.
There you go.
Hey, we'd be great cellmates. We can all be like the suffragettes fighting for our rights.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's where we're headed. Everybody get ready for jail time. Start making your little taking to jail packets with you for now.
Yeah, if Tina and I were cellmates, we could do what we did when she came to visit me, which is ensconce ourselves in a bedroom. And she explains all of the lyrics to the Squee songs.
Oh,
and I'm not sure, like, it's not cricket.
Yeah, like, it's not cricket.
Yeah.
That's just full of double entendres and single entendres, even, some of them. That's all we have this week.
Yay!
Thank you, Tina.
Full.
We appreciate you. We know you. We know the rest of you are out there. And guess what? Everybody's got a week to catch up because Bette and I have decided we're taking next week off. Apropos of nothing, we just feel
we're
like
just
it.
Putting our feet up.
That's right. Next week we're just going to put our fucking feet up. So everybody's got extra time next week to listen to this episode and leave comments whenever you feel like it. Thank you, Tina, for your shout out. And now it's time for movies.
Yes, and I hear you have one.
I am so happy with the movie I decided to watch last night. I was kind of scrolling through Netflix, looking for something under 2 hours. This one just made it. It was like an hour and 53.
Ooh.
It's a documentary called Will and Harper, and it's directed by and starring Will Ferrell.
Yeah, I have read a lot about that movie, and I've also seen it on my feed.
And
I've
been snubbed by the Oscars. It is wonderful. Oh my goodness. Ooh. I liked it so much. So it's about Will and a buddy of his from his SNL days, Harper Steele. Harper previously was known as Andrew Steele, and Andrew was head writer at SNL, and he and Will Ferrell became very good. I think they both arrived at SNL the same season and kind of just became friends through that. And then during the pandemic, Andrew decided that enough was enough and it was time for him to embrace his true self. And he has transitioned to a woman, and now her name is Harper Steele. And when Will heard this news, one of the things that Harper was talking about, Harper has always taken road trips across the country. When she was Andrew, she would, you know, go to like the sleaziest dives and bars and like stock car racing and things like that. And as Harper, she thought, I don't know if I'll be able to do those things anymore. Like, I don't know. It's very different for a straight white man to walk into a sleazy dive bar than it is for an elderly trans woman to walk into a sleazy bar.
But she still wanted to do bars and stock car. Okay.
Of course. Yeah. Cause those were the things that she always enjoyed doing.
Just because you trained.
Right. Exactly. Right. These are the things that she's always enjoyed doing as she went across the country. So Will Ferrell had the idea, like, why don't we go together and we'll make a documentary about it. And if I'm there, people maybe won't bother you so much because I'm a celebrity. I don't think he put it that way, but I mean, you know, I think that was a little bit of the feel going into this was you're going to have a little bit of a buffer.
Right.
Because people will be attracted to me and, you know, and there'll be, you know, the goofiness of that. And
if they know I like you, then they're going to like you too.
And there will be less attention on you and your situation. And so it is just the story of their road trip across the country together and the discoveries that they make. And, you know, I was expecting it to be sort of irreverent and goofy and maybe a couple of heartwarming things here and there, but it's so moving and so emotionally genuine. I just really loved it, and I was not expecting to love it as much as I did. Big, big, big thumbs up for Will and Harper. I think the Academy has missed out on this one, because no Oscar nomination for this movie, which I think is a bad snub, but it's on Netflix. Check it out, Will and Harper.
Well, I definitely will, because like I said, I've seen it, I've read about it, and I've seen it on my feed.
Yeah.
And I do love Will Ferrell. I just...
Yeah, he's grown on me. I know that I didn't care for him too much early on, but you know, the more I see of him but especially in this movie, because he's completely different in this than he is any other time. Because you get to see a little bit of the real Will Ferrell in this. And it's just lovely. And he's such a great supportive friend. And that's the heart of this movie is it's two friends struggling and supporting each other. And it's just a beautiful thing. So thumbs up for Will and Harper. Bet, what is your movie?
Well, I have a movie that I found this morning when I went out. Amazon Prime now had a line of movies that said rent for under $6. Well, yeah, all over that.
Yeah.
I went through and I looked and I looked and I looked. And just like Sten's last week, I was torn between two, but one was over 2 hours. And so I picked this one, and I'm so glad I did. Because, again, we're in agreeance. Two thumbs up for movies. This was a movie that, when it came out, it's a movie that you think might be like a streaming type of movie, but it actually came out in theaters. Okay. And so I knew I couldn't see it. But now it's there on Amazon for less than $6. And it's a documentary called Session Man.
Okay.
And Session Man is about a pianist named Nicky Hopkins.
Okay.
I don't know if you know the name right offhand.
I don't.
Nicky Hopkins, from the 60s to probably the 90s, has played keyboards on every record you ever heard.
Right. Yeah, I figured it would be something like
and
that.
And I remember him so much from my growing up days, loving records. And, you know, you would get the record, you would love it, and you would read the liner notes. And Nicky Hopkins was everywhere. And I think I first really discovered him through Nielsen, because Nielsen's album covers would always have a bunch of photographs of all the people in the studio, and Nicky was always there.
But
the Beatles, the Stones, Joe Cocker, the Kinks, just and then he started touring with all these people.
Oh, cool.
And so it's just the story of him, who grew up loving piano, and he ended up at the whatever they call it, Royal Academy of Music, I guess it's called. But he left because he wanted to be in a rock and roll band.
Right.
And so he became a professional musician. But when the first thing that we learned about Nicky, besides the fact that he was so talented, was that when he was 17 or 18, he was rushed to the hospital and had to have surgery because he had severe Crohn's disease. And that was back in the day, that was back in the, you know, like mid 60s, when people didn't really know what to do for people who had Crohn's. They just started taking out intestines and stuff. So, you know, he was painfully thin and suffered a lot of pain throughout his whole life. But after, you know, playing in pickup bands, and he played with a blues band, and, you know, people like, well, the talking heads in this movie, you got Keith Richards, Mick Jagger, Peter Frampton, a voiceover by Pete Townsend. Oh, gosh, there have to be
some big names.
So many more, But they started, you know, they would go see a band, and they'd say, who the hell is that on the piano? And so everybody wanted Nicky in the studio with him. And so the thing, there are two things about Nicky that unequivocally come out through this movie. One of them, his undeniable talent. It was just beyond the pale. And the other was that the man was so kind and so sweet and had no ego whatsoever. Somebody would ask him to come into the studio, he would sit there and they would say, well, now I'm playing this. And I think maybe you could do this. And they would, and he would get up and do it. And it worked so well. And then they all started realizing, we don't need to tell him what to do.
He knows
what
to do.
We can say, I'm going to play this. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
And so he just blew everybody away with
his
musicality and his ideas. And there are three of the talking heads in this movie that are other pianists, and historians who mm-hmm. know and can recreate all of the stuff that he did. One of the things that I think you will know, if you've ever heard the Rolling Stones, She's a Rainbow.
I don't know She's a Rainbow.
Starts with a harpsichord at Nicky Hopkins.
Okay.
But
rock and roll harpsichordist.
Exactly. but one of the guys replays, Nicky Hopkins does the instrumental break, the piano in the instrumental break of Revolution.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I thought that was Billy Preston.
Billy came later, but he did Revolution.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, Billy did a lot of Rolling Stones. But yes. Anyway, so as sickly as he was, he still went out and toured with all these bands, long tours.
Yeah.
And managed to, in his condition, get himself addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
And
living the rock and roll lifestyle, man.
Living the rock and roll lifestyle. And he did finally get clean. And that's a long story. And they don't mention something that I read about it after I watched the movie. So we won't go there. But he got clean. And he found the love of his life. He was married once and it didn't work out. But he found the love of his life. And she said the first time she met him as a fan. And she said, he was so nice. She was walking away with her friend and said, "That's the guy I would just love to be married to."
Oh, and they I ended love those up stories. Married. You know that. I love those stories.
Yeah. And so he kept playing. He kept doing his thing. He did, I think the last thing he did was a tour with Joe Walsh. But he came back. He lived in California at that time. They had the horrible earthquake of 90-something.
Oh, 94, yeah, the Northridge quake. That was just before I moved there.
Then he said, "I can't do this anymore," so he moved to Nashville. Everyone in Nashville was over the moon because now he could play with them.
Yeah.
But within the year that he moved to Nashville, his Crohn's finally caught up with him, and he died at 50. He was only 50.
I actually just opened his Wikipedia article here, and it says he died in September of 1994, and I'm certain the Northridge quake was just like that summer, so it was not that long after.
Yeah.
Well, that's sad.
But it's just, it is so good that, I mean, he wrote things on his own. I mean, he wrote, like, concertos of, you know, that never saw the light of day.
Right.
Because he was in the studio with all of these other people. But it was so interesting. And when he talked about being hooked on drugs, there's an interview with him from, you know, probably the 80s.
Yeah.
Where he said, when they got me into rehab, I was absolutely sure it wouldn't take. I knew it wouldn't take. He said, but, you know, how it did, I have no idea. But he did get past that. But it's just so interesting. It reminded me, you know, the movie I love so much about the Wrecking Crew.
Yes.
The studio musicians. Uh-huh. It goes right along those lines. I mean, that is right thinking. Down my alley.
Yeah.
It's great. It's called Session Man.
Session Man.
If you want to watch it, it's 90 minutes long.
But you got to pay for it.
You got to pay. I think I paid like $3.49. Now, come on, people.
That's not too bad.
Right.
Well, I think for a music documentary, I would rather pay zero and just have it be part of my regular streaming service. So maybe I'll wait a little bit.
But if you love old music, if you're my age and you love the music that I grew up with, you will see him playing on so much. He played on 14 Rolling Stone albums.
Yeah, tons of Rolling Stones. I mean, I was just, like I said, I was just flicking through his Wikipedia, and he did stuff with, you know, Jeff Beck and Steve Miller Band, and, you know.
And when Spinal Tap, he played with Spinal Tap when they SNL, and he kept, his wife said he just kept on needling Christopher Guest. you're Jeff Beck, right? You're supposed to be Jeff Beck in Spinal Tap. And she said, Christopher Guest would never admit to it. You're supposed to be Jeff Beck.
It's good but stuff.
Yes, total thumbs up.
All right, thumbs up. We got some good documentaries for you this week, you guys. Will and Harper and Session Man. Check them both out, why don't you? And then let us know what you think of them. I have a pet story.
Meow, 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 meow. I want to hear some pet stories.
Woo! My pet story this week does not involve either of my cats. Instead, my pet story is about a dog that was here for just a couple of hours.
Oh, yes.
Such a little ray of sunshine, and he changed my life forever in just the brief time that he was here. Was it Thursday or was it Friday? I don't remember. Anyway, one of those days, I was outside having a cigarette like I do. I was just about to put my cigarette out, and I see this tiny little black dog, probably not much bigger than Scout. Little black fuzzy mop of a dog.
That's how I like him.
Strolling through the parking lot. No leash, no collar even. And at the same moment that I saw him and was like going to like put my cigarette out, the same moment that I saw him, somebody, a woman in a car across the parking lot said to me, "Is that your dog?" And I looked down at him and I said, "He's not my dog." And I said, "What are you doing, buddy? Where's your people?" You know, I'm looking around looking for his people. I don't see any people. So I just scoop him up, put my cigarette out, and I walk over to the woman in the car and I said, "Is he your dog?" She said, "No, he's not my dog either. I was just following him because I saw that he didn't have a collar and didn't seem to belong to anybody." And I said, "Well, I could bring him inside, but my cats aren't going to like it very much." And she said, "Yeah, I could bring him inside to my place too, but I have another dog, a big dog, and I don't think he would like it either."
You don't want that.
So I said, "All right, well, I'll bring him in, and I'll put a picture of him on our Facebook group."
Oh my goodness,
he's such a sweet little boy. I brought him in.
Did you name him?
I did not name him. I was thinking about it, but honestly,
when you name him, it's pretty much over. So.
He was here for such a brief time, but. I quickly put the cats away in the bedroom so we didn't have any, you know, problems between them. And one of the cat's toys is like a small tennis ball, like a quarter size tennis ball, a very tiny little tennis ball. And I thought this should be a good enough size for a little dog. And so I got the tennis ball and threw it. And he knew exactly what to do, ran after it. His tail never stopped wagging the whole time he was here.
Oh.
And he just followed me from room to room to room. I came in here and sat down at my desk to work. And he just lay down at my feet and with his head on my foot. And it was just the cutest fucking thing. And I was like, "Oh my God, I don't think I can give you up. I love you so much." But I did put a picture of him on the Facebook group and also on Bellingham Lost and Found Pets or whatever on Facebook. And almost instantly I got a message back from somebody saying, that's my niece's dog. She said, "I'll have my sister give you a call."
Oh.
Yeah. And then her sister came and got the dog. And I got to be honest with you. I didn't really like the look of her. She was talking on her, she had her phone up to her ear. She didn't even go, "Oh, Benji, we've been so worried," which is like the minimum I expect from somebody to say. And I was like, "He didn't have a collar on." She's like, "Yeah, the kids take it off." I'm like, I was, you know, frankly, a little annoyed at,
That's a hard place to send a doggy back.
Yeah, my strong temptation is that if I see Benji again in the parking lot, he might just come live with me forever. We'll see.
Bless you.
I've
sneezed 25 times today.
You are allergic to Benji.
No, I've got a damn cold.
But he was so sweet and so cute. But Lincoln hated him. I still had a leash or a collar of Poppy's still in my closet, in my bedroom closet. So I went into the bedroom and I left the door open. And Benji came romping in after me and he saw Lincoln. And chased him under the bed. And because Poppy could chase Lincoln under the bed, but she couldn't get under there with him. But Benji can because he's also quite small.
Oh,
so Benji chases him under the bed, but then also goes under the bed to get him out. So, you know, then, and yeah, Lincoln was absolutely fucking traumatized by this, by this, you know, 30-second interaction. And Lincoln did not come out from under the bed until I went to bed that night at like 2 in the morning. Then he came and snuggled in the bed with me and purred, and then he was fine after that. But I mean, my goodness, it really affected him badly, which means I probably can't get a dog while I have these cats.
True.
So sad. But I mean, I just, like, as soon as he was gone, I was like, I miss him so much.
Oh, I know.
So cute. It did make me start thinking about whether or not it's time maybe for me to look at a dog. But again, like I say, I have kind of a responsibility to my current cats.
You have to be a good steward of your...
Yeah, especially since, you know, base. Scout's obviously entering her final years now, and I need to let her enjoy them. I need to let her enjoy her retirement in peace and quiet and not have some big black mop of a dog running around the house. So, but he was a lovely little visitor. Thank you, Benji, for stopping by and letting me enjoy you for a couple hours. That's my pet story.
Yay.
What you got?
Well, I have something, folks. I'm so sorry. But it is what it is.
You know, sometimes this is all we have to talk about.
This is all we have, and this has been all I have.
This is why we're taking a week off next week.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the wells run dry, and this is all we have left to talk about.
But once again, this past week, folks, it's been the weather, the fucking weather.
It's the weather.
And I have to tell you, it is killing my mental health.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I go for online therapy. And at one point during the week, my sister just, she's done with me at this point. It was nice before.
Yeah.
She's done.
I'm over it.
And she said, that therapist you're seeing, he's doing nothing for you. You need something else.
Shut up.
But the thing of it is, he has taught me so many things about doing stuff that's hard in my life, stuff that's just small stuff, that I turn into a huge barrier.
Right.
And then I'll think, oh, he told me to think about what I have done. Oh, I did this. I did this, I can do this.
He's doing great stuff. Listen.
You know, so we're making, you know, baby
You're
steps.
Making great progress.
We're making strides.
Pat doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about.
But the thing with the weather is it's the Mount Everest of things.
Right.
And you never know what it's going to be. It's always going to be bigger than it was the day before.
And you have zero control over it.
I have no control.
There is nothing you can do about the weather.
But this week, you know, we had the rains that caused the floods, but they took the snow away. Well, at the beginning of this past week, started with 4 inches of snow.
Yep. More snow.
Got 4 more the next day.
Yeah.
So there's trying to get in and out of the office and, you know, having to pull in and call Pat and say, can you give me a hand and help me through this crap? And, you know, then Wednesday came and the high temperature, well, the high temperature, I think, was 8. The low was -2.
Oh, God.
So, of course, everything completely froze.
Yeah.
Then I had to go out Thursday, had to go out Friday.
Yep.
And on Friday, now I will say the thing that I'll give her props where it's due. Every morning at 7:30, we have to have our phones with us.
Oops, yeah.
There we go. Because Pat gives the miss of what are we going to do today. And she did call late schedule. Well, we'll shoot for going in at 10:30.
Right.
But if it's snowing, what does 10:30 mean? That
means
there's more snow.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when Friday came and she said 10:30, I thought, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I just can't do it.
Yep.
If I call her in front of the office, she's going to cuss me out. And the only thing I could think to do to get to work was to go up my street and parallel park in front of my office, going in the wrong direction.
Oh.
My headlights where my taillights should
right.
be.
You know? Yeah.
Because if I did that, all I had to do was just open my driver's side door and tumble out. And
yeah.
I'd be two steps from, yep. you know.
Exactly.
And I can dodge three pieces of ice in two steps, you know.
Yeah.
And my sister just rolled her eyes at me at that point.
But, whatever.
And I whatever. I left she'll the car.
When it's her turn.
Yeah. I left the car that way all day. The police never came. I didn't get a
nah.
ticket. It was, you know, it was what it was.
Yeah.
And by the end of yesterday, it was starting to melt some. So, you know,
good.
Had no problem getting into the car. And today has been really good. We made it to 40, and my
Yay.
Driveway is now clear.
Nice.
And next week is not supposed to be so bad.
Okay, good. Good.
But it's not over.
No, I know. And I hate this time of year.
I hate it. I hate it.
Ours is our weather's going up, trending upward. We're in the 50s now. Ooh, we're gonna have
oh, what I would
maybe.
You
next week, not this week.
You lucky.
We are lucky, lucky bastard. Yeah. Yeah.
What I wouldn't give.
Well, of course, it's rain all the time here. Rain and, like, you know, 80-mile-an-hour gusts of wind, but. If you want to come, you can always come out here. We would love to have you out here at Bellingham. You have a built-in found family right here. So come on out
but
any
I,
old
But
time.
I did wait. I left it today, so tomorrow will be grocery day. But now I know that I won't have to deal with snow and
That's good.
Ice getting my groceries in the house.
Smart thinking.
Yeah.
All right. I have a phraseology this week.
Woo!
It's not all that great, but it's something I have wondered for a long time. I watch a lot of hospital shows. I always have. I've always loved hospital shows. Yep. Ever since St. Elsewhere, one of my very favorite TV shows of all time.
Show.
And Chicago Hope and other shows like that. You know, on TV, doctors are always saying, you know, stat. Hand me a suture, stat, you know. And stat, of course, means now, right now, immediately. But I've always wondered why, how come only doctors say stat? And we, you know, the rest of us in our business lives, we have to say ASAP or ASAP
right.
or whatever, or right now, please, or whatever.
Or yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. But how come doctors get their own word for stat? What's that about? So it's two things. The first is what it means. Obviously, it means immediately and where it comes from. And it is apparently, it's short for the Latin word statim, which means immediately.
Oh, okay.
It's from the Latin. And this is when stat first entered the English lexicon in the early 19th century, it was used by physicians clarifying that a drug or procedure should be administered immediately. Latin medical terms were and still are common because Latin was a neutral ground for medical professionals from different countries, which is interesting.
What century?
19th, early 19th.
Get thee to this patient stat.
Yes, exactly. Get thee to this patient stat. Administer ether to this patient stat. Give. What are they? Leeches. Administer leeches.
Yeah.
Administer leeches to this patient stat. But apparently, it's doctor shows that started using the word stat and putting those words in the doctor's mouth. Whereas previously they really only wrote it mostly in
order.
They were in written orders and it would say stat. But they didn't start really saying it out loud until the medical drama came along. And then
which is a little weird because if you're writing it out and then giving it to someone to read, how
yeah.
stat is that?
I mean, it's not very stat at all, is it? I guess it's just... Yeah, it's pretty stat. But anyway, so that's stat.
Wow.
And that's why, and that's, yeah, that's the deal. So it says, sources, JS says, stat also, blah, 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 blah. As for whether real-life medical workers shout stat as much as their television counterparts do, sources generally say no, it's more common in writing. That is interesting that it's more common in writing when you do figure that anything you write is going to take longer to do than something you say. I mean, just writing the word stat takes longer than saying stat.
Stat, right.
So you can say stat in less than a second, and writing it is S-T-A-T.
A-T.
That's probably a little more than a second. So, I mean, I don't know. It's not that fast. Anyway, that's my phraseology. Bet, what is your interesting fact?
I have an interesting fact, and it's
love facts that are interesting.
It's a weird, wild thing. I hope you'll like it.
Oh, goody. I love these.
Because this is February.
It is.
Where I love, you know, when I do my daily driving around after work, I love driving around Bluefield, Beefield, West Virginia.
Yes.
Where for Black History Month, they started this last year, on all of the lampposts, they have little banners of prominent Black people who meant a lot to this area.
Yeah.
With a picture and their names.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just love driving by and looking at all of them. Names that I know, like Theodore Bundy, who was a prominent businessman.
Not the murderer.
No. Who, prominent businessman in Beefield when in the 40s and 50s, there was no such thing. He had the Coal City gift shop. And doctors and professors and, you know. And so this year, I was... But in fact, last week, I was doing my driving around and still looking at all those pictures.
Yeah.
And when I cut down, I got to the downtown area, and I cut down to go down Commerce Street, which is where the newly renovated theater is.
Okay.
I passed a banner, and I saw a picture, and I thought, oh, my. And the person's name on the picture was Henry Louis Gates, Jr.,
okay.
Do you know that name?
I do not.
Okay. Well, I did.
Okay.
And I thought, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? And so I went down lots of one-way streets in downtown. So I went down, had to turn right, then had to turn left, go back up, came around again.
Yeah.
looked at it again. And I said, my God, that is Henry Louis Gates, Jr. And so I went and I Googled him because I knew who he was, or I knew the name. And it is the very actual Henry Louis Gates Jr., who is the host, and he's a PBS staple, but he's the host of Finding Your Roots.
Oh, PBS, okay, yeah.
Where celebrities come to him.
Yes, I love that show. We've talked about it before, yeah.
And when I went and
Googled him, I know that guy.
He is actually from Keyser, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Grew up in that small town in a poor family. Uh-huh. Graduated from high school. Went to a very small Black college called, I think it was called Potomac State. But within a year, found himself at Yale. Graduated from Yale and took off from there. And he's a staple in people's lives.
Yeah.
And he's from this little area. And he's got his little banner in our town. And I
like
it.
That's cool. I do know that guy. As soon as you said the show, I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm picturing his face right now in my head. I'm picturing him sitting across from Larry David telling Larry David that he's got Black relatives from Civil War times. All right, let's do our U rules and get the heck out of here because we are a bit over time. My U rule this week, as usual, I'm sorry, you guys. It must get boring for you at this point, but it is for Doug Starcher. Doug came over yesterday. I bought this new office chair. I bought it like 3 weeks ago and quickly failed trying to put it together.
Oh, and, God, that was so interesting.
At a certain point, I thought, this maybe just needs two people. One person needs to hold it, and the other person needs to screw it, I guess. As it turns out, I wasn't really doing anything wrong. The screws that came with it were labeled incorrectly, and so I was trying to put short screws in where the long screws were supposed to go. But I had no way of knowing that. But so Doug came over yesterday, to help me put my chair together. And then he also brought me lunch, which, you know, I should have been buying lunch, not the other way around. This is the second time now that he's done that to me, where he's done me a favor and brought me a meal.
And brought you lunch.
Exactly.
Well, that's Doug.
That's Doug, though. That's Doug. Doug for you all over. So thank you, Doug. I appreciate it. I'm sitting in the chair right now. It works great.
There's
going to
be
help.
A time in the future where I need a new chair here, and God only knows.
I know. You're not
maybe Doug. Brian. I don't know.
Well, try to arrange your new chair for a time when Doug is making, you know, one of his little trips around the country, and maybe he will drop by and put your chair together for you. Or, you know, if you're like me, just do the right screws in the right holes and you won't need a second person, as it turns out. I could have done it by myself if I had figured out that little thing about the screws. But I didn't. So sometimes you need an extra person just to
help.
Well, yeah,
but I mean, a chair is a chair. You know, a few weeks ago when I put together the pedal sizer, you know, that's like 12 by 12 inches, not feet.
Right. No, I know.
And I had enough trouble with that.
Yeah. But this was the thing that made me so crazy, though, because I tried multiple times to put the chair together, and all I succeeded in doing was injuring myself and making myself really, really angry for not being able to do it. But I've put together everything in my house is IKEA. I've put together every single piece of furniture in here, and I could not figure out this chair, and it made me crazy. But sometimes you do just need an extra set of eyes to go, are you sure these are the right screws?
Yeah.
And, you know, between the two of us, we did manage to get it
And were the out. Was the manual, I mean, was it okay or was it not?
It was, the instructions themselves were easy to follow. Like, they just mislabeled which screws went where.
Okay, so written in English, but not by an Englishman.
I don't, you know, I'm not sure if they were, if, you know, they probably were written originally in another language and then translated, but it was easy enough to follow. Like, the only bit, like I say, is that the screws that accompanied it were mislabeled, but it's okay. It all worked out all right. But anyway, Doug, thank you so much. Oh, also, Doug also rules for introducing me to one of my new favorite snacks, which is tater tots. With hot sauce from the hot sauce from Taco Bell ends up being the best hot sauce in the world. I don't know if everybody knew that.
Oh, yeah.
Get the hot sauce from Taco Bell and dip your tots in that. That is a delightful little snack. Very tasty. All right, Bet, who rules?
Well, I have a you rule, and it comes from something I just talked about. And it's kind of out there, but what I talked about brings it back home.
Yeah.
My U rule is for John Rankin.
Okay.
Who I knew as J.R. Rankin or Dr. Rankin.
Okay.
Who was the first ever college history professor that I had.
Okay.
As a freshman, first semester going in.
Yeah.
Small man, you know, short man. And you know, when you're in high school, you have the same teachers over and over and
you
go to their classes and you know what it's going to be like. When you go to college and you see a professor who's just out of the box and forces you to think and learn.
Yeah.
It's scary, but when the person is just so great, you can't help but love it. And Dr. Rankin is one of the banners in
Beefy. Great.
And when I saw him, I just squeed with delight.
Yeah, that's lovely. That's very nice.
And I'm so glad he was honored. He would tell stories that just, and I mean, they were historical, historical stories about this area that would just blow the mind. And then, because of him, because of you, Dr. Rankin, I started to realize that I may have taken more, but I took 3 history classes at Bluefield State University, which back then was Bluefield State College.
Right.
And they had the most unbelievable faculty of history teachers. I had Dr. Baldwin and Dr. Lee, who Dr. Lee, he was a legend on campus.
Yeah.
Because he was he had been an extra in the movie The Green Berets.
Ooh.
And on the first day of class, he would tell you he had been an extra in the movie The Green Berets. And anytime it showed on TV, he would announce when it was going to show. And he said, if you can find me and tell me where I am in this movie, you'll get extra credit.
Oh, that's great.
That's the reason I've seen The Green Berets twice.
I never found
him. I don't know if anybody did. But it just brought back really good memories. But J.R. Rankin, he could make you think and scare you and just crack your ass up with the way he talked.
Those are the three best things you want from your teacher,
I think.
Excellent. All right.
Good times.
Well, good times, good times. All right, gang. Well, that is our Hucklebug this week. And as we said, we're taking next week off just because we can.
Yeah.
We'll be back the week after that, though. So you've got lots of time to listen to this episode and leave us lots of comments, and we'll shout out to you in 2 weeks' time. We'll be back in March. Until then, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
And we're Bet and Stenny, and you've been listening to The Hucklebug. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
We love you.
That's the way you do it when you do the Hucklebug.
Hang on. If I don't wave, I'm waving. I'm going to set off the smoke alarm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, don't set off the smoke alarm, Bet.